Did you know that over a million new businesses launch each year, yet nearly 40% fail in their first year and 80% within five? I'm Derek Schmidt, and I don't want you to become another statistic. That's why I started the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. I'm going to use real-world experience and straightforward advice to help you navigate through the rough waters of entrepreneurship. Whether you're drafting your first business plan or aiming for new heights, this is your toolkit for however you define success. Let's dive in. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast, where we empower entrepreneurs and small business owners with the insights and tools they need to succeed. I'm thrilled to introduce today's guest, Amelia Thygesen. Amelia is a highly experienced career coach with Act Your Wage Career Coaching. With a solid background as a licensed mental health professional, Amelia brings a unique and holistic approach to career coaching. She specializes in helping individuals navigate career transitions, whether they've been laid off or they are considering a career change. Through her personalized coaching packages and comprehensive courses, Amelia has guided countless clients in identifying their strengths, matching their skills to potential careers, and mastering the ever-evolving landscape of resumes and interviews. In addition to her one-on-one coaching sessions, Amelia actively engages in networking groups both in person and online, leveraging platforms like LinkedIn and social media to connect with her audience. She's also planning to expand her reach by launching a YouTube channel where she will share valuable career insights and advice. Amelia's dedication to helping others is evident not only in her career coaching, but also in her previous work on podcasts, focusing on mental health. Her deep understanding of mental and emotional aspects of career transitions makes her an invaluable resource for anyone looking to make a significant change in their professional life. Today, Amelia is here to share her expertise on effective marketing strategies, overcoming visibility challenges, and providing actionable tips for those that are seeking new career opportunities. So without further ado, let's welcome Amelia Thygesen with the Entrepreneur Bootcamp Podcast. Amelia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're very welcome. So I guess to kick things off, can you share a bit about your career journey and what led you to career coaching?
I have been working with students and adults probably my whole entire time working in community mental health. So I've worked with kids like high school transitioning, whether to vocational or college, you know, helped people apply to college. I've helped people get back into the field, whatever they might have left or gone back into. I also did a stint in incarceration. So I also helped people with transition there and some case management. And I've volunteered for the last couple of years with some local not-for-profits that help people with career and resume transition to getting work. So I think I've been really passionate about it. I'm also one of those nerds that I'll be like, hey, are you looking for a new job? Let me help you fix your resume and I'll do it for free with all my friends. So I was like, if I'm really this passionate about it and not getting paid, then it's probably a thing I could probably start off as starting my own business to do it.
Yeah, they say that those are some of the best jobs and careers or things that you just, you know, naturally enjoy doing. And when you don't focus on like something that's just going to make you a lot of money, you end up becoming more successful anyways. It's inspiring to know that you work with, you know, people starting at the high school level, because when I was going through high school, like I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to get into music and I was going to get into music production, but I'm a cliche, like college dropout, just life circumstances. I had children and priorities, everything kind of got in the way. So anyways, I always found myself working at restaurants and I would work my way up to become like a manager. So if there were layoffs or anything, like our positions were the first ones to go. And so it was difficult for me to kind of navigate what a career might look like for me because I had no idea what opportunities were available. And that's about the time when I started, you know, the agency. And through that, and just like you, I started working with people who were formerly incarcerated and making that transition. I'm like, hey, you guys have the skills already. You just need to make it legal. You know?
Yep, exactly.
So how does your background in mental health influence your approach to career coaching?
I am very strength-based. Like you said, like I want to show people like, look what skills you already have. Look what experience you already have. And how can you use that like now? Or how can you put that into a functional job? Because like, you're right, you know, take something that, you know, you were doing illegally and make that into a formal job. And a lot of people who are incarcerated become entrepreneurs. A lot of people who are incarcerated you know, are great managers, you know, because they have that organizational and planning skills. They're just not putting it towards the right thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and already kind of, like you said, leaders, managers, they already have some idea of like business operations.
Going to pay X amount of money, or I need a job that's going to, I don't know, make people think better of me. Because I think when I was in school, it was always, oh, you need to become a doctor or a lawyer, right? Or some other career that has like X amount of financial security. And I think it's really important, especially nowadays, that we have that balance, you know, so that we're not, I'm not just all my job all the time, that I actually am a person and I have hobbies and interests and I do have a career and a job, but it's not my whole entire life. And that's something I really aim towards people to focus on, is not being consumed by their work.
Yeah, and not everybody wants to go to work for somebody else. I think, and don't quote me on this statistic, but it's like 80% of the businesses in the U.S.,
woo,
all businesses or something, right? So it's like,
that's a lot.
There are a lot of people that just want to go out and start their own business. And there are a lot of people that have that personality type and those strengths to be able to do that. And they don't even realize it. They don't even know it. So tell us more about your business and the services you offer, such as the coaching packages and the career exploration courses.
I have one course out right now. It just walks you through a career assessment where it talks about your strengths and what those strengths and your interests and how it matches you to what kind of careers and jobs. So it walks you through on that and what the steps are following that, you know, and networking and whatever's going to help you to kind of lead you on the way. My coaching package is just a package that offers you 3 individual sessions of 30 minutes to just meet with me and talk about whatever you want to talk about. If you want to fix your resume, if you're having trouble job searching, interview skills, just to like kind of get you out there.
So not only like a service base where you're providing a service, but it's also kind of like a therapist, like a sounding board.
Yeah, I mean, that's what coaching is. Coaching is like, let's make a plan, right? Like, what are you struggling with? Let's make a plan. And what's the follow through? So I kind of want people to be able to do that. Because I think a lot of people, it's like, oh, I'm just going to sell you, you know, each time, right? And I kind of want people to have a follow through. So if it's give you 3 different time periods, then you're going to have a start and an ending period. And I think that can be really helpful for a lot of people.
And I think it's really important to mention the important role of a coach in life. I think I read somewhere in the past that Michael Jordan has coached for almost every aspect of his life. And yeah, it's Michael Jordan, he can afford it. But the important thing is like he's got like 5 coaches. He has a sports coach, he's got a finance coach, you know, a business, a life coach. I mean, and basically what I'm trying to say, and you can kind of look at this from like the beginning of time, there's always been this kind of mentor mentee relationship, you know, between people. And so I know coaching is kind of a buzzword as of lately, but I think there's a lot of value in taking somebody else's experience and leveraging that and becoming the student, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's really important. And I think it's important to recognize that, you know, who are the people that you can trust, you know? And I really like to tell people that in my business, like, I'm not here to like get you some 6-figure salary or boost your income or make all these like crazy promises that a lot of people online will make you. It's just to be there to support you in whatever your goals are, you know?
Yeah. Success by your own definition.
Yeah.
Ooh. I've learned a lot about that over the past year and a half, 2 years, because I was always chasing what I...
Oh, no. Did you get caught in the scams?
Yeah.
I hate the online scams.
I was just chasing what I thought was success, what I thought was happiness, all these things. And really, like, after just a lot of learning, again, that mentor, mentee, just reading a lot of books and consuming a lot of information, just, you know, success is exactly how you define it. And happiness to me is something, or happiness to everybody is basically just, you know, it's already present within you. And anyways, I could go on and on. I don't want to bore anybody, but it's extremely important.
It's important.
It's based on definition. Okay, so what inspired you to create these specific offerings that you offer through your business?
Well, I think it's important that people take the time to focus on strengths and interests and less about, I'm just going to, you know, pick an assessment that's just going to tell me what job I should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of start strike up more of a conversation and be more introspective, which I think is really important when we're refocusing our career choices or if we're trying something totally new, right? You know, What kind of education will I need for this new job, right? Do I need job skill training? Do I need to get a mentor? Do I need to interview someone in the field and find out what exactly goes into it? You know, am I a good match? That's, I think, is super important when you're trying to restart yourself.
Agreed. So are your assessments, do they leverage like the DISC assessment, the Myers-Briggs, or is it something, you know?
Oh, it's all free stuff. It's all free stuff online that you can get through the Department of Labor, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. And there are other websites too out there. There's like jobtest.org, I think. There's just like a whole bunch of just different assessments out there. But I think it's really important to focus on things that are like affordable or free for you to use. And secondly, that, you know, that focus on interest and what skills you already have.
Okay. And these change, right? So if I took something like that 5 years, 10 years ago, like, I mean, it changes. Strength.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, you're a different person, you know, now than you were 5 or 10 years ago, and you'll be a different person 5 or 10 years from now. So of course they're going to change. But I think that's also important too, because we think, oh, we've done X job for the last 30 years, right?
Yeah.
There's no way I could do something totally different, right? Because these are the skills I have and this is what I know. And sometimes we know more, you know, than we think.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things have changed, like, oh, this doesn't interest me anymore, or other things would be more intriguing, or you're more passionate.
Yeah, I think a lot of people get to a point in their life, probably around the middle of their life, where they're exploring a career change, or maybe they've been working something that paid the bills but didn't necessarily make them happy. And, you know, that's a great opportunity to kind of leverage their experience and their time in life to make that pivot. So now I'd like to kind of shift gears, and I want to get into the marketing strategies and the challenges a little bit. What marketing strategies are you currently using to promote your business?
I am on LinkedIn and I'm posting frequently. I'm on Instagram and posting frequently. I do have email that I try to do at least email blast once a week. I have a blog on my website. I have a website. And I just recorded this morning my first YouTube video, so I need to edit that and get that up, which not my cup of tea, but it's the way to go.
Yeah.
So
the nature of the beast to be on camera and to serve the different platforms. How have networking groups, social media, LinkedIn, how has that contributed to your visibility?
I think in general, it's important to talk to other people that are in the field or in the career. And I mean, I have a huge interest in recruiters, and not people that are just like pushy, but like recruiters that actually share good information and, like, you know, take away assumptions and falsehoods that people do have about jobs and kind of have the insight. So I think that's been really beneficial. Also, just career coaches in general or career counselors, to connect with them has been really helpful, just to get different perspective or the things they do. I've talked to other therapists who also do career coaching or career clarity, as they like to call it these days. And what's it like? What are people looking for? And how does that process? And a lot of it has seemed to be that people are just looking for resume editing, or they're just looking to get career clarity and find out where their focus should be. So just like taking that assessment on the course, right?
Okay. There, I imagine, would be some value in working with somebody like you too, to do some sort of like role playing. So if they do get in for the interview, you know, they can kind of get an idea of some of the questions they'll be asked and ideas on how to appropriately answer those. And a lesson that I continue to learn every day through my life, less is more. So you don't have to spill the beans and give it all the information. It's just important to not ramble.
No, I just think limits are important too, right? You know,
right.
And I always tell people, you are interviewing them as much as they're interviewing you.
And
so come with all those questions, even if it seems, you know, weird or crazy. No matter what it is, you should be getting information from them. This isn't all like, oh, woe is me, I need to answer everything they want, or, you know, lie about this, that, or the other thing. You need to be doing what's best for you.
And I think you also kind of set yourself apart when you do stuff like that. You know your worth, you understand what your value is, and you just have a sense of confidence that radiates from you during these interviews. I think that's extremely important to point out too, because you're not like everybody else who's, I guess, the yes man and just going through the generic question answer. You know, you kind of stick out, which in marketing, that's our goal, right? Stick out. I'm curious how much of your time is spent on like the social media and the YouTube and all the other forms of marketing you're currently doing.
Probably not enough, but I try to do it at least like once a week. I'll like sit down and plan all my posts.
Perfect. That actually is a much better answer than what I was expecting. I was assuming it.
Oh, well, yes. Is it like never?
I was expecting that I just consumed a bunch of your time and making it.
I've done a couple of online free trainings about it when they said post like 3 times a week, you know, and all the different themes and like to how to keep up. So I try to not let it consume my life because I like to have work-life boundaries, right?
Yeah. Boundaries. There you go. That's important. Yeah. Usually when I ask that question, people are like, I spend 80% of my time on doing all this stuff and I can't focus on something else. So that's what I'm expecting.
No, I don't beg people. I don't send cold messages. I don't do any of that because I don't believe in that, honestly. I don't think, you know, targeting people like that is beneficial. It's one thing if you're like want to network with someone and like get to know them or like join a group or whatever, but I'm not a pusher.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges you face in getting clients and increasing your visibility?
I probably Google's new SEO changes I hear about right now, I guess.
Yeah.
And I guess blogging's all of a sudden taking a downturn because of it. I don't know if it's the AI or what the whole situation is, but I know that there's been a big shift. So I'm sure that probably has something to do with it. Social media itself is inundated with ads for coaches. Like inundated. And that's not something that I would like to do. I have tried to like talk to companies and I was like, hey, can you give me some kind of like a strategy or like a way to go that you would go? And no one can really like point me in a direction.
Yeah.
So they're all like natural, right? You need to have a natural following and have organic social media posts. And that's all I've been told. So that's kind of just the route I go through.
Okay. So I feel like there's some stuff to unpack there. So based on my experience with what's happening with Google right now, I think, and I'll try to keep this very high level, but I think Google is at a place probably in the first time in its lifetime where it's losing market share because of AI.
Oh, right? Wow.
More and more people, I think, are going to Bing and using Bing's AI, and other people are going to ChatGPT directly or Perplexity. And so it's a very interesting time for Google right now, in my opinion. Now, with that, and as part of the latest update, and today being June 11th, 2024, what Google's update really targeted was content that is not valuable. So basically, all the people who've been posting to their blogs just to have posts are going to become irrelevant, right? They're not going to rank for that. And taking a step back, Google's primary job, in my opinion, is to provide the user with the most relevant search and the best user experience based on what they're looking for. So in order to do that, you have to be just putting out valuable content. And I've done a whole episode on this, but how Google determines if your content's valuable, you know, you probably have Google Analytics or some analytics tracking on your website. It can tell how long people spend on your site. Do they go to different pages, et cetera. So I think content is still important because after all, like Perplexity, Claude AI, you know, Google's generative AI, ChatGPT, it's all scanning this information and citing from specific websites. So there's SEO is still a thing. It's just changing. And in terms of social media, I mean, I believe, you know, if you're doing the 80% value-based content and 20% like promotional, I think your following will grow organically anyways. And then just making sure you're also engaging with other relevant accounts, commenting, liking, sharing, et cetera. So with that, how do you navigate the ups and downs of your marketing efforts?
Yikes. I don't know. Probably not very well.
Can you give me some examples?
Well, I think it's really frustrating that, you know, that the internet landscape has changed so much. I was a youngin' when the internet came out. So I was like, I grew up on the internet, right? And I think the focus has changed to why people use certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of altered the landscape. And like I said before, it's so like inundated with people all trying to either do the same thing or something similar or offering a better price or whatever it might be. So I think that's definitely one of my frustrations, that it's not people trying to like seek improvement. It's just like quick fixes and jumping on the next train or looking to make the six figures, you know.
Yeah, we've been spoiled by the functionality of the Amazon one-click purchase, where our attention span has just gone like completely down, right? And younger generations too, they need it now. I'm also of that generation. When I was growing up, I think AOL and AIM were popular, but not every household.
That was my life.
Every household had a computer, and Word and Microsoft, they're not what they are today.
And I think there's a lack of connection too, now that we're talking about AOL.
There's a reason Steve Jobs didn't let his kids have iPads and stuff like that. You know, I mean, there's a disconnect that happens there. I mean, there's the illusion of connection because you're on social, but we are physical beings. Like, we need that one-on-one interaction. And that's, I think, possibly why I struggled so much during COVID when everything went virtual, is because just my personality types, like, I need that one-to-one connection in person. I just, you know, I pick up on energy and whatnot. I couldn't adjust very easily to the COVID world. But yeah, I saw a video, I think, of Neil Patel, and he said every day over 4 billion pieces of content are published to the internet. So it's only getting more and more saturated. And to your point, like, people will view you as a commodity until you give them a reason not to, right? If I can pull this back to my own experience, for example, like, people will reach out to our agency through the contact form, and they'll try to get an idea of pricing. And I don't give pricing for our services until like 3 meetings later, because I try to set ourselves up to where, like, hey, if you're just price shopping or you're looking for the lowest, best deal, like, we're not going to be it, you know? And part of this I pull from John, the ex-Disney guy. You can Google him. But basically, he talks about what you really sell, especially more relevant these days, is an experience. And so that's ultimately what I'm selling, is an experience.
No, I think that's a good thing for the most part, especially if you're three times in, right? And it's not just the first time out. Because I think a lot of people, it's like you said, they're just shopping for like the cheapest thing.
Yeah.
And not really thinking about the quality. And I think we kind of lack that these days, where people don't want the connection, right? Or talk to another person. They're just like, here, fix my problem and then let me move on.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a meme that comes to mind. I saw it says, it was for tattoo artists. My brother-in-law's tattoo artists. But it said, cheap tattoos aren't good and good tattoos aren't cheap. So shifting that a little bit to make it applicable here. So what marketing tactics have you found to be the most effective for your business?
You know, probably LinkedIn right now.
Interesting. So just organic, you know, maintaining your LinkedIn profile?
Yeah, definitely. That definitely would be it. I'm sure the next would probably be YouTube once that gets going. But right now it's definitely been LinkedIn.
Do you plan on utilizing YouTube Shorts, like the I guess, TikTok comparison version of YouTube?
Maybe.
There's a really cool tool called Opus Clip, O-P-U-S Clip. And basically,
write it down.
Yeah. If you take a long video like this one here, it will automatically use AI to find the best clips of that video that you can post on YouTube and, you know, YouTube Shorts and LinkedIn. It's worth checking out.
I will bookmark it right now. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you have a leg up on me because I'm just now starting to get into the whole LinkedIn world, where I probably should have done it 10 years ago. But again, my generation, like, I need to be aware of social media and what each platform offers and how to reach people. But I personally, like, kind of still resist social media to a degree.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. And I feel the same way, especially in my career in mental health. I did not want to jump on the bandwagon of everybody else and doing TikTok and talking and, preaching to, you know, people about things. It's just never been my thing. Like I said, I'm not a pusher. I don't think that my way is the best way. And it's definitely a scary world to have to like venture into. But sadly, it's kind of just where we're at.
It is, yeah. And not a lot of people read the terms and conditions. And as a marketer, like, I see the type of information that is captured that we as marketers are able to target. It's kind of frightening. However, I guess to your point, that's where we are as a society for right now.
Yeah.
So I mentioned Opus Clip, but do you have any other specific tools or platforms that you use that have significantly helped you in your marketing efforts or that you like?
I use Buffer.
Buffer, yes.
I do the posting on LinkedIn. Yep. I think that's the only big one. I do everything myself. I've had people try to like sell me services. We're like, we'll post for you. And I'm like, I'm lazy, but I'm not that lazy.
Yeah.
Like if I'm doing the work, I'm going to post it myself on social media.
That's so funny. I have people reach out to me trying to sell me website stuff. I'm like, I don't know if you check this out, but we can build our own website. This is cold emails. Yep. And I'll tell you, I never open them. Never, not one.
Well, good. Good for you.
Yeah. So I feel bad for whoever's the person on the other end wasting their time putting that together. So you mentioned that you rolled out your first YouTube video.
Oh, not yet. I'm going to edit it today, but hopefully by the time this airs, it'll be.
Okay, cool. So starting the YouTube channel, can you elaborate a little bit more? What's your vision for the channel and how do you plan to leverage it for your business?
I'm just going to be doing some like basic information, interview skills, career assessments, and just and asking other people what they want too. If you have any ideas, please let me know, because I'm looking for new and interesting ways to talk about things that people need and not just the basics, you know?
Yeah. I think negotiating skills, especially when it gets down to negotiating your salary. And as an employer, although I don't hold this role in my company anymore because I'm such a softy that I want to hire everybody and I wish I could, but I'd run out of money very quickly. I can tell you that there are a lot of people that are transitioning from college, you know, education, college degrees, who just, I get a lot of resumes for people who've just graduated, who may have followed this field of study, and now they're looking for placement. And I just, like I said, I wish I could help them, but I feel like there's also probably, when you get so many of those, I guess what I'm trying to say is that there's an opportunity there for them to kind of set themselves apart. And actually, here's a specific example. I remember at one time, somebody had sent a resume via email and then came into the office and maybe brought lunch or brought something with them, right? And they were like, hey, just wanted to follow up on my resume that I'd sent. And I was like, at that time, I was like, I'm sorry, we're not hiring. We'll keep your information on file. But it really stuck out that they took the extra effort, right? And I remember...
Yeah.
When I was looking for a job a long time ago, like something that I believe may have set me apart was not only would I send the resume or apply for the job, but I would follow up probably a couple times via phone or email. And if I didn't hear, I'd go in person, but just to show some sort of like genuine interest. Like I'm not just, and I think this is especially important these days. You don't have to correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you're applying on jobs, like Indeed, can't they just submit a button to quickly apply for that job or send their resume?
Yes and no. It depends on the company. A lot of companies will still make you fill out like a form or they have extra questions to ask. But yeah, it is technically pretty easy to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like as an employer, I'd want to know that somebody took the time to read about us, they're interested in us, our culture, our services, and they can add value to us.
Yeah. There's been a lot of viral articles about how people have brought resumes in with donuts or, you know, pasted it to like a delivery box. My favorite is there was a recent one. I don't know if she was a developer, some tech job, but she made a whole video of her resume of why you should hire her. And it was amazing. Yeah. And I think you're right. And I think people need to get creative and you need to have like, not like an edge, but at least something that helps you to stand out, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, that kind of out-of-the-box thinking. So are there some other marketing avenues you've considered exploring? I know you've mentioned that you've been pretty consistent on LinkedIn. You're starting the YouTube channel. I think you've dabbled in social ads, but not really focused too much.
I have not done the social ad.
Okay.
I had a bad experience with that. I kept calling all these companies and they just would not follow through or they did not give me the information that I needed. So I think that would probably the next avenue to go down would be social ads. People have told me you can do it yourself on Facebook because it's like so cheap to do. I've heard 20 million things, but I've just not had good luck with people helping with online advertisement.
You may want to check out that video. I think I just posted like 1 or 2 weeks ago. It's called social media marketing, but it's a huge emphasis on like the Facebook, Instagram side. I think LinkedIn gets a little more expensive, and you have to have a better strategy with your LinkedIn because you have to nurture those people, right? And move them down the funnel. But if you're interested in like Facebook, Instagram, where again, you have a lot of targeting information, that whole video is how to basically launch your own ad campaign from start to finish, including the targeting options and everything. And you can leverage AI to help you with creating the ad copy and the targeting option.
Sounds like a good plan.
So I'm curious, how do you identify and reach your target audience, particularly those who have been laid off or they're considering a career change? Because I feel like that would be kind of difficult to know unless you're like directly in it with some employment agencies or something.
Well, I do talk to a lot of clients on the mental health side who have been laid off. There's been huge, massive layoffs in the last year. So that's one way I talk to people. A lot of the time it's social media. Like people will talk about it. People are having trouble job searching. So that's another way to find people, is to kind of be like, hey, these are my resources if you're interested, or if you want assistance with that.
Okay. Are you active on Facebook at all?
Only for my mental health business, not for the coaching.
Okay.
That'll probably be my next avenue after I watch your video.
Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship for me.
It is.
Lean more toward the hate side, but
I know. I am on Threads. I have to start posting more on Threads, but...
How do you like it? I haven't jumped over to Threads yet.
You just kind of go with the flow, but most people haven't linked to their Instagram, so I was like, I probably should link it to my Instagram.
Yeah, I think, you know, Facebook, where it's valuable is our demographic, because it's, as my kids will tell me, it's where the older people hang out. But specifically why I asked that question is I know there are a lot of Facebook groups, and specifically in our area, I know there are Facebook groups for All Things Jobs, I think is the name of it. And that's where like employers will go to find people, but also where a lot of job candidates go, and they're like, I've applied to 30 places, nobody's calling me back, help. And so I'm telling you that from the position of not going there and necessarily directly promoting your business, but that would be a great opportunity. How I think you can go in and just comment to add value to that person and start to develop that reputation in that community. And people will naturally be like, who is this person? I need to check them out. They'll click through and then maybe eventually land on your website. And that's where maybe your pixels, if you watch that video, where your pixels are installed, and then you can kind of nurture them further and further down the funnel with some sort of foot in the door offer, right? Like, let me review your resume or whatever an inexpensive, low commitment offer is, you can get them to start to trust you.
Good plan. What is it called? All Things Jobs? I haven't heard of
All Things Jobs. It's a group in Facebook, but I know there are others. The Wilmington NC Community Group is another one for local residents.
Everybody's on that one.
Yeah. But yeah, the All Things Jobs one, I think, is a popular group, and there's probably others. And for anybody who's watching who's not local to the area, I'm sure there's something very similar in your area. And that's basically what I'm trying to articulate here, is that Facebook is really good when it comes to groups and using that as a platform to establish your authority, right? Not necessarily directly promote yourself, but establish yourself as an authority to where people start to get interested and check you out. And then for those that are local to our area, and to kind of go back into the marketing side a little bit, have you ever considered doing like an interactive workshop at the library? So it's inexpensive on you to rent a room, and then you can do some guerrilla marketing to promote, get job seekers and maybe even employers to attend that. I'm sure there's some sort of way you can capture information like emails, and maybe this kind of feeds an email marketing campaign that you can use to nurture your leads and, you know, these people that have questions. Has that been something that you've tried or considered?
I have considered it. If anybody would be interested in the community, I'd be happy to come in and do like a presentation or talk to people or be a resource. I have tried to reach out to the university and the community college, but they told me no. So that's disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I'm full of quotes today. I forget who it is. Maybe it was Bill Gates. For every 100 no's, I got one yes, and that one yes made all the difference. But that library scenario, that's something that I personally have done in the past, where we've rented a room and just had some sort of like free to attend, maybe cater some lunch. And you can possibly even partner with a local employer who is hiring, right? Like an Encino or somebody, and maybe they will sponsor the lunch, and this gives them a way to kind of prevent some of potential candidates, but that's something I thought about. And then maybe having your own webinars series that you go through to kind of walk through and teach people how to go about navigating the job world.
Great idea. If anybody out there wants to sponsor me, let me know.
Yeah.
Would love to help.
Do you participate in any of the job fairs?
Not recently. I did volunteer for Step Up Wilmington for a period.
Okay. Step Up Wilmington's a great organization.
It is.
I also just had a thought on if there's a way you can leave information or have some sort of presence at the Unemployment Security Commission office, that feels like it would be a really good place to get some people who are interested or maybe coordinating with some of their consultants.
The Department of Labor usually does have their own employment counselors there,
okay,
or people that they do work with, but I'm not sure how that process works in North Carolina.
Yeah, so maybe seeking them out on LinkedIn would be a good opportunity. And as you said, your referral partners are other career coaches. Have you thought about SCORE? You know, SCORE helps people who are starting businesses with the operational side. And I was just thinking that that might be an opportunity for you to get involved with them. So if one of their entrepreneurs is hiring, that allows you a direct connection.
Oh, I don't know what the SCORE is. You have to tell me more about
it. SCORE is a nonprofit organization that basically helps entrepreneurs with business ownership. So there are several or a handful of organizations like that throughout the United States. There's the SBTD, and then you've got the Small Business Center at the community college. So most metro areas or cities have something like this. And SCORE is also, I believe, a national organization. So that would be a good opportunity to get in with the employers. And as they're looking to hire, you can have that direct line of communication with them or direct connection. But basically all this, I think if you can do the job of getting people interested into your site, which it sounds like you're doing a great job of doing, and that's through the YouTube videos, it's through the social media, maybe participating in some of those Facebook groups, get them to the site. You can, once you install the pixel from that video, you can then start showing people who have visited your website ads, specifically around like resume writing, proofreading, editing, pitching your courses, basically anything, but to lead them further and further down the funnel. Do they have the ability to book through your site or pay directly
yep.
through your website?
Yep. Yeah. I have a Kajabi website, so
okay.
it's all
perfect.
Interconnected.
Yeah. So you can remarket to them to get them to come back and hopefully sign up for a consulting session or for the courses. So when it relates to your audience, what strategies are you using to keep them engaged and motivated throughout their career search?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's consistency, but it's also, you know, to have curiosity about it.
Okay.
Because I think if we box ourselves in sometimes, right? Like, you know, I've worked at X job for the last 30 years and these are the only skills I have, right? And I always tell people to like, look, you know, not just at your job skills, but like life skills. You know, what do you do for fun? What do you do when you're not being paid, right? What do you enjoy to do? Like, I'm a big traveler. So, and I love researching. I would research to death. That's why I love job searching. I love finding information and new answers, but that has nothing to do with what I get paid for, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely trying to look outside the box and being like, what am I missing?
Yeah.
What should I be looking for that's not as so obvious as what I've been doing for the last X number of years?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if everybody adopts this or just me. It served me well so far, but when I'm reviewing a resume or I'm reviewing it with the people in charge in my company who do that, I'm not necessarily looking at their experience or their skills. I'm more looking at the person themselves because skills can be taught, right? I don't care if you've never done digital marketing before in your life, but if you have certain characteristics that we're looking for, that speaks to me more so than your expertise or your background in most cases. I mean, that stuff is important, but again, skills can be taught. Like, you can't necessarily change a person. So we want to make sure we have the right person to teach those skills to. Is that a correct assessment?
Well, yeah, I think you need to be you, right? And I think a lot of the time when especially like you're going to an interview, you want to be yourself.
Yeah.
Because you want people to accept you for the person you are, not just the skills that are there. about how you present yourself and what kind of soft skills that you have too. Can you get along with people? Can you communicate? And I think those are the highest need skills right now, are those soft skills.
Right.
You know, how you carry yourself and how you discuss. And that is a lot of the times way more important than what you can offer. But also, I think it depends on the field, right?
Yeah.
Difference between working in mental health versus being a computer programmer. Maybe a balance of both, but yeah, I would assume for the most part, people would rather know you as a person.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I'd like to shift gears into some practical advice side. Can you provide some actionable tips for our listeners who are considering a career change?
Oh my God, take your time. Don't just jump right into it. Like if you get laid off or you're seriously considering just finding a new job, don't dive right in. Don't sit down and apply to like 50 different places. Give yourself space and time for it. Sit down, think about it. Talk with other people. Take some career assessments. Don't just jump because it's going to stress you out way more than necessary.
And it doesn't look good to have all those jobs in a short amount of time, right? That's something I would look for on a resume. How long have they worked at any specific place? Because as an employer, for example, like I wouldn't want to invest all these resources and money into this person if their track record is that they only stay in a job for like 6 months or even a year. Unfortunately, that's the case. So how can individuals better match their skills to potential career paths?
Exploration. That's a big one. And trying things out. I always tell people either find a mentor, volunteer, talk to people in the career, do your research on it. Because I think a lot of the times we'll say, oh, I have these skills, I must be good at this. But until we actually experience that or have some perspective or being within it, then we'll know for sure whether or not it's a good match.
What would you say are some common mistakes that people make on their resumes during interviews?
During interviews or just like resumes in general?
Well, resumes and during interviews. Like if they get to
I think resumes, they put too much. That's a big thing.
Less is more.
Like you don't need to put every like job you've ever had. You should definitely focus it towards the job that you're applying for. Making sure that it's one page and it's like straightforward. I think a lot of people get too wordy and they put the whole I'm seeking a job this instead of just like what the skills are that they're looking for. That's a big one. You can use AI, and AI is great, but you want to proofread.
Yes.
It is not doing it for you and then submitting it. That you have to actually proofread it. It's like any other type of program to make sure that it looks like it makes sense. Interviews, I think people late, don't show up. Ghosting's a big thing. Not dressing appropriately. I understand that some jobs, not everybody is expected to wear a suit and tie. You don't have to look like you're going to a ball to go to most job interviews, but you should at least look decent. Even if it's like on Zoom, plop a nice shirt on, right? Make sure your hair looks nice. You don't have to go all crazy with it, but make sure you look appropriate because you're putting yourself out there and you want to put your best self out there, like we said before, and you want to be you.
Yeah.
Not pretending to be somebody else.
You are marketing yourself.
Yes. Trying to think what else with interviews. Not asking questions. That's a big one. Just kind of answer everything everyone else has to ask you, but then not having your own questions. Not negotiating. If you can negotiate a salary or asking the questions to get to that point. Not doing research about the company you're applying for. Even if you just go to their website and read the first page, you should at least do that before you have an interview. So at least you know what they do or where they've come from or their mission statement. That's a big one too.
It's impressive when people have done their due diligence and they come in and they know about us, because that's one of the first questions we'll ask is, what do you know about us? What do you like about us?
And be smart. Go to LinkedIn. Look up the person you're interviewing with.
Mm-hmm.
What's their position? How long have they been there? Where did they go to college? Because you never know. At the end of the day, it might help you.
Yeah.
Did you go to the same place or did you grow up in the same place? It's these extra steps that can be really valuable in the heat of the moment.
How can job seekers improve their resume and interview skills to stand out in the job market?
Oh my God. Practice, you know, even if it's just with a friend or looking at questions online, that's a big one for interview skills. Check what the resume trends are. For a long time, it was like, has to be a page, or don't put dates on there, or do put dates on there. And I think everything is changing so much all the time that it's important to kind of keep up on that, or whatever the trends might be, or if anything specific to your fields. Because I think different fields sometimes have different resume structures or are expecting different things on resumes than others. Like, should your certifications be on top? What are they going to focus on in those first 2 minutes, like they look at your resume? Like, what's supposed to pop out?
Yeah. And if yours is part of a stack of resumes they have to read through, it's important that it does stick out, right?
Yeah. You know, what are the first thing you want them to look at? What should they be focusing on?
So how can our listeners get in touch with you to learn more about your services?
I have websites, actorwagenc.com, actorwagenc@gmail.com. And ActorWageNC on Instagram, and coming soon to YouTube, it'll be the same handle.
So to wrap things up, I have a pay it forward segment of the podcast. So each guest can give a shout out to another entrepreneur or small business that they admire or have been inspired by. And so for our pay it forward segment, who's one entrepreneur or small business that you'd like to give a shout out to and why?
Oh, I have a friend, Devin Bartholomew. She does Sparkle Girls Fairy Hair, and she comes to any event and works in North Carolina and South Carolina and maybe other states, and will bring fairy hair to you. Whether you're having a fair or a festival, or if you just wanted your kid's birthday party, she is there for you.
Amelia, thank you so much for your time and your valuable insights today. For our listeners, please do subscribe, leave a review, and make sure you check out Act Your Wage. And Amelia to follow her on social media and her new YouTube channel. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hey, make sure you subscribe for more insights. And if you like this episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Join our free community at entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com and let's start building a great business together.